is Elazar Muskin of the Young Israel of Century City. It's my honor to be able to share with you and learn together one of the keynotes that is so central to the Tisha B'Av experience. We're going to focus on Aadei Adchuk Shamayim, which is listed as the eighth keynote of keynotes in the Art Scroll. It's on page 162. Allow me to begin with a fascinating story from history. The year was 1870, and the place was the University of Leipzig. Two Jewish students, Isaac Yehuda Goldshire, better known as Ignaz Goldshire, and a Binyamin Ze'ev Bacher, better known as Wilhelm Bacher, who were going to become major Jewish leaders in the Jewish community of Budapest in the late 19th and early 20th century, were observing Tisha B'Av afternoon in their room at the university. In order to pass the day, they were playing chess, hoping that it would keep their minds off their stomach. Suddenly, they noticed through the window that one of their non-Jewish professors, a Franz Dillich, a Protestant theologian and Bible scholar, was approaching their room. Goldshire recounted the following remarkable event that took place on that Tisha B'Av afternoon. "We quickly hid the chess set under the bed covers," Goldshire reported. Dillich meekly opened the door, a somber expression written all over his face. He did not greet us. He did not speak a word. He merely gazed at us with a kind, sympathetic eye. Silence pervaded the room. Finally, he addressed us. "Friends, I share in your sorrow, but ask that you do not despair because of your tragic fate. Ultimately, dawn will break and the sun will shine forth, and you too will experience happy days." With utmost sincerity and seriousness, he concluded, "May the Lord comfort you together with the other mourners of Zion and Jerusalem," and left our flat. I thought to myself, this Christian actually believes that we Jews spend the entire day of Tisha B'Av in mourning. Let it be a lesson to all of us. Apparently, Bacher arrived at the same conclusion, for we both sat down on the floor and studied the accounts of the fall of Jerusalem tractate Gittin. We did not so much as touch the chess set for the remainder of the day. Since then, I take great pains each year to commemorate Tisha B'Av properly. By learning the kinos, there's no better way than to properly understand what Tisha B'Av is all about. Let us therefore begin studying this meaningful kino. Aadei Adchuk Shamayim, would that I could soar to the sphere of heaven. The lesson of this kino is a fascinating one. So often we think that when we do an action, it only has a here and now effect. This kino teaches us that it has rippling effects. It can have seismic historic effects. The kino, the Baal HaKino, wonders, tell me, where does Tisha B'Av really all come from? And the Baal HaKino responds, it occurred way before the destruction of the temples in Jerusalem. It actually began at the dawn of Jewish history. There was a terrible sin that the Jewish people were involved in. If you take a look at the fourth line, the Baal HaKino writes, "Avchin b'vchi leil midbor, efchano leil mileil, umibor mimidbor. I would contemplate the crying of that night in the wilderness. I would differentiate between night and night and between wilderness and wilderness." What is the allusion here that the Baal HaKino is talking about? It is clear that the Baal HaKino is referring to that night in the Midbar, in the desert, when the scouts all came back with the terrible report of how we would not be able, in their assessment, to be able to conquer Israel. 10 of the 12 scouts gave that terrible report, and the Jewish people became depressed. They believed them. They did not believe in Yehoshua and Kalev. They believed in the other 10 scouts. And so, the rabbis tell us, what night was that? That night was Tisha B'Av. And that action had rippling effects, seismic effects upon Jewish history that we still pay for to this very day. The wilderness that all occurred in became the wilderness of diaspora that we still unfortunately experience to this very day. But I wonder, I always wonder when I study this kina, but haven't we done tshuva? Haven't we done repentance? Haven't we repented for that terrible sin of the Chet HaMeraglim thousands of years ago? I was reminded of a story that my mother-in-law told me many years ago. When she and my late father-in-law went to Israel for one of the first trips, they were very close to the late Rav Goren, the chief rabbi of Israel, who at that time was the chief chaplain of the Israel Defense Forces. The morning that they were leaving, they were staying in the same apartment building that Rav Goren lived in, and the taxi came early in the morning to take them to the airport. Suddenly, as they're getting into the taxi, Rav Goren came running down to say goodbye. And he turned to my father-in-law, who at that time was a rabbi in Montreal, and he said to him, "Rabbi Halpern, remember one thing. Don't violate, don't repeat the Chet HaMeraglim." My father-in-law looked at me and said, "What are you talking about?" He says, "You're going back to America, back to Canada. Everything you saw here, not everything was beautiful. Not everything is 100%. But you're to share only the good and not the bad. Don't repeat the Chet HaMeraglim." I often think of that story because we have to ask ourselves, when we look to Eretz Yisrael, when we look to the state of Israel, are we looking at it through the eyes of the Meraglim? Or do we look at it, as Rav Goren would describe, don't repeat their sin? The Baal HaKinos says a few lines further, "Adver b'chol lev lahamsi'ehu. I could cause my whole heart to grow faint as I would struggle to have him make himself available to me." The Baal HaKinos is referring to here the search of the Jew for the Shekhinah, for the Divine Presence. Because of the Chet HaMeraglim, because of Tisha B'Av, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has departed from us in a certain sense. And the Baal HaKinos says, but we are desperate to see, to re-encounter, to have the new rendezvous with the Shekhinah. Rabbi Soloveitchik used to always say that you only appreciate something when you lose it. And in a Yahrzeit shir that he gave for his father, he said, "I would give the whole world if only I could have 5 minutes to converse with him." So that's the way we should feel when we read these lines in the Kinah. The Kinah is saying we're desperate for that rendezvous with HaKadosh Baruch Hu all over again. And we hope that this will be the last of the Tisha B'Avs. A few more lines later, in the letter Yud, this expression, this idea, this hope is uttered by the Baal HaKinos. He says, "Eyuloti le'ezrati tarti chazot, ayumati b'chol shana omeret hi hashana hazot. I seek to witness the fulfillment of my plea. Oh, my strength, God, come to my assistance. My awe-inspiring nation proclaims every year, this is the year of redemption. This is the year of redemption, we hope." But as somebody said to me once, he says, if you really believe these lines, then you would discard your kinah after this Tisha B'Av. You'd put it into Seamus, because you would believe next year there would be no more Tisha B'Av. Unfortunately, do we really do that? Do we really believe that this is the year of our redemption? And so the Baal HaKinos reminds us, comes full circle, and he tells us, don't make the mistake of thinking that our actions only have an effect on the here and now. Our actions have an effect throughout history. And that is the lesson of Adei Ad Chuk Shamayim. Thank you.